Now it's time for some baseball talk on Fightin' Phillies Podcast. Here's Rich Baxter and
Mr. Matt Vizi,
bringing you the latest Phillies news, interviews, and analysis.
And welcome aboard to this week's show. It's our special Memorial Day weekend show of Phillies Talk Podcast. My name is Rich Baxter, and I'm joined with my good friend, Mr. Matt Vizi. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Rich, how are you? Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Not bad. Right back to you. And of course, as I just recorded a show called the Baseball Talk Radio Show, we started off talking about how solemn a holiday it is, how we like to honor our war dead, the people that made it possible for us to do this show, go to a baseball game. And you know, it's a lot of the times people take that for granted.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we do, and we have to keep in mind too, obviously we support our veterans and those who are actively serving in the military, but we always have to remember that Memorial Day is specifically in remembrance of those members of the military, the American military, who gave their lives so that we can be free, so that we can have a better life. So absolutely, you know, keep in mind while we're doing the cookouts and going to the ball games and enjoying our family and friends and all that kind of stuff that we love, keep in mind why we're able to do that, you know, thanks largely to the sacrifices of those who gave their life serving in the American military.
Yeah, and thanks to Gary for that opening, by the way, the video opening. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel or watching our video here, thank you very much, Gary, for that. And, we're at Memorial Day already. Phillies are in second place. They kind of haven't been doing as good as they had been the first 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks maybe. But I guess they're still in it at this point.
Yeah, standings-wise, they are. It's a little misleading, though, Rich. You know, they're in second place, tied for second statistically with the Atlanta Braves, 3.5 games back. But the all important, as we like to say, especially when we're getting to the dog days, we have a long way to go before we reach those dog days. But right now, they're 7 games behind the Mets in the loss column, which is really the important thing to look at. And as far as even the wild card, you know, they're falling 6-7 games back in the wild card race in the loss column. So, you know, the Phillies, it's a bad season right now. I mean, there's, you know, no two ways around it. They got a losing record. They're 2 games under 500. We're about to enter June. This has been an extremely disappointing season to this point.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they've been doing well at home. They're 15-10 at home. I just brought up the schedule here while we're doing the show. 10-17 on the road. So they're really bad road team. Don't know what happens when they go on the road, but if they could only equal that home record, we'd have a winner here. We'd be looking at a first place team. But of course, easier said than done. Sometimes Phillies on the road, as we're doing this show with a short series rather in Tampa, and then they come up and we got great news as far as the relaxation of certain rules and regulations around the stadium when they come home.
Yeah, they're back to full capacity, at least, you know, eligible to be able to go to full capacity when they return next weekend. So we'll see what happens as far as fan response, you know, because the team isn't doing that well, you know, and on the field and in the same, but you know, you're going to get fans. I mean, you're going to get more fans than you are now. I mean, traditionally they're drawn in the 20,000s somewhere, no matter what, you know, the results are on the field. It's still a great ballpark. It's still a great atmosphere. You know, it's still a great thing to take your kid to, your family down to. So, you know, we'll start to see, I guess, next weekend. It'll probably take a little time still. You're still going to have some fans who may be a little bit reluctant to go out to the ballpark or to go out and to meet large crowds, that kind of thing. But I was at two games so far, one in April and one in May, and both of those had the 11,000 maximum, and they were pretty close to the 11,000. So I would imagine, you know, I would imagine you'll see twice that at the games next weekend at a minimum. And I think as we get further into the summer months and people start to get more comfortable, more people get vaccinated, I think you're going to see the crowds grow. Now, how large they grow, that's going to be up to the Phillies and their play on the field.
Yeah, it can happen at a worse time as far as the way that Phillies have been playing recently. But Zach Eflin going for today's game. And he started off pretty good with the Phillies, and then his last couple games, not so good. So I'm wondering which Zach Eflin we're going to see today. 3.78 ERA so far on this season. Excuse me, 2-4 record. Facing a tough team with the resurgent Tampa Bay Rays. They always seem to put on a good team out on the field for some reason.
Yeah, Tampa's, you know, fantastic right now. 33-20, they have the second best record in all of baseball, only a game behind the San Diego Padres. They are a game. I mean, they're the best record in the American League. 13 games over 500. You know, and just Tampa just really doesn't have the big names, the big stars. They have a fantastic young pitcher leading their staff named Tyler Glasnow. But yeah, they're a tough team. I mean, last year the Phillies went into Tampa the final day of the season with a chance to make the playoffs still. I mean, all they had to do was win that final day of the season in Tampa and couldn't pull it off. You know, the Rays were too tough. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Eflin's been up and down a little bit, just like the entire team. He's been, you know, solid. He's, I guess, what you would hope that a three starter would be for the most part. He keeps the team in most of his outings. Today, they're, you know, and it's still early. It's only the bottom of the second. I think that they're still scoreless. He walked the leadoff batter in the bottom of the second, which is never a good thing. But we'll see what happens as the day moves along. But I think you can expect a good outing from Eflin today. Just, you know, will the Phillies offense, which has not been very strong at all, it's been, you know, probably the biggest disappointment to me is their offensive output. Can they produce, you know, can they score four or five runs for them?
Yeah, and if we take a look at, you know, some of the starters that they've had in the last, say, 2 weeks, we've missed Mr. Bryce Harper, of course, I imagine due to injury. And he makes a big part of this team, although Brad Miller's filled in for him quite nicely.
Yeah, I mean, Miller's a nice bench player, you know, but he's not Bryce Harper. He's not an all-star caliber player. He's not an MVP caliber player like Harper is. And the Phillies missed Harper, just like they missed JT Realmuto when he was out of the lineup. This is, you know, they are playing shorthanded, but that's no excuse, because if you look around baseball, you know, injuries have been a major problem this year all across the game. So, you know, the Phillies are missing a lot of guys. Well, so is everybody else. The Atlanta Braves have been hit hard by injuries. The New York Mets have been hit very hard by injuries, and yet the Mets are still in first place. You know, the Mets are still sitting there five games over 500. And I can't imagine right now, you know, if the Mets were fully healthy, you know, they may be running away with this thing at this point. So, you know, the Phillies have to be thankful that they're where they are, but they really need to get, you know, if they're going to have a chance at this thing, they're really going to have to need to get healthy in a hurry, and they're going to have to start getting their act together. The weaknesses that have been there all along, the back end of the rotation, you know, maybe a couple of holes still in the bullpen and a couple of holes in the lineup, you know, they're still there, and yet now they're battling injuries on top of that. Realmuto just came back after missing, you know, a bunch of time. You know, there's Harper's out now. Gene Segura had missed some time. Now he's back. Didi Gregorius has been out for a while. So they really haven't had their lineup intact. And, you know, they're not getting production from guys they need to. Rhys Hoskins has been probably been their biggest offensive threat consistency wise. He leads the team in home runs with 11 and RBIs with 31. Alec Bohm he's second on the club in RBIs with 24, but he's gotten a lot of chances too. And he's only hitting 209 with a 244 on base percentage. He struck out 57 times. I mean, none of those numbers are acceptable at all. And I'm a huge Alec Bohm fan. I think that is definitely not reflective of his talent. But we might be seeing Bohm go through the classic, the league has adjusted to him after he came out smoking last year as a rookie. The league has adjusted to him. Now it's up to him and the Philly scouts and the Phillies hitting instructors to adjust back to the league. So I think that'll happen, but he's fallen way behind, and the production that they're not getting from Bohm, I think, is really hurting them right now. I mean, they could sorely use some production out of his bat because of the potential he has, and frequently he's hitting in the five spot in the batting order. So, I'm not one of these people. You follow social media and you see people who are ready to trade Alec Bohm already, and they're ready to, send them back to the minor leagues. I think both of those things are an overreaction, but he does need to work through this, and the sooner the better.
Yeah, and I can only think with Joe Girardi, is this some blame on him maybe, or? When you look out in San Francisco and you see how well the Giants are doing, and they picked up Darren Ruff, by the way, this year. And it kind of makes you think, did the Phillies do the right thing with getting Girardi now? Seems like there's been a little feathers ruffled in the dugout. And I guess that'll happen with anybody. But it just seems like some bad luck maybe with the Phillies as far as that's going.
Yeah, I'm not, I have confidence in Joe Girardi. I'm not worried about him. The media right now is a little bit anti-Girardi because he came out with because of the way he handled the entire injury situation and the Harper situation and the Segura situation, and how, kind of misleading, or even outright lying, to the media. And then actually coming out with a statement that says, I'm not necessarily going to tell you guys the truth. The media doesn't ever appreciate that. And I think that the media is more than a little bit is up on a high horse. I don't hold that stuff against Girardi. He's a professional. He's been in this game for three decades, as a player, a coach, a manager, over three decades. So I have no problem with thinking that and saying that Joe Girardi knows more about this game and the proper way to handle things in the game than the media does. So any sports writers and that type of thing. So I Joe Girardi's record for me overall speaks for itself, and I'm not ready to can Girardi or turn my back on him. Joe Girardi's fine as the manager. You make a good point in bringing up the success of Gabe Kapler out in San Francisco. I mean, I think they're like a dozen games over 500 right now. The Giants, they've been battling the Dodgers for first place out in the West pretty much all season long. And the Padres, of course. The Dodgers and Padres were considered to be the powers in that division, like they were going to run away from everybody else. But the Giants have unexpectedly been right there. You mentioned Darren Ruff, and he was playing well for them, but he just ended up on the injured list himself. I believe he's going to be out for a while. So, that's a loss for their team, but Kapler's done a nice job out there with San Francisco. So, it harkens back for me to Terry Francona here. The fans and the media were really fast to, after a couple of years, he's not winning. And couldn't you see on the field the problems with talent that Francona was dealing with? And this was a young manager and his first time around the big leagues. anybody who had any kind of real knowledge of the game could see the talent that he was dealing with. He had a few good players, but he didn't have enough to win. And the organization wasn't giving him enough to win. And that took some years before they started to build up that talent. And I think that they got rid of Francona a little bit too early, but that's the way Philadelphia is. You know, they start talking negative. You don't win right away. They start talking negative about you on the sports talk radio. And the next thing you know, the fans are turning against you, and it's, you know, it's all over for you here. And that's pretty much what happened with Terry Francona. And it's a shame. We lost out on a good manager. He goes to Boston, wins a couple World Series. He's goes to Cleveland. He's had a lot of success in Cleveland. He's one of the best managers in the game. Well-respected. The players love him. So, you know, hope we might be dealing with the same situation with Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, and here I brought Yahoo Sports up on the video version of the show here. Here's the headline that the media calls from that. Girardi plans to withhold info from media. So here they take this story and put their own little twist on it. It's interesting how once they get a hold of something, you know, of course, we know he doesn't want to play his hand to the media. He's not going to tell them everything. He might as well call the other team and tell them, you know.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It has nothing to do. You know, the media, as you just alluded, it's their ego, you know, and that is being, you know, that's kind of being hurt here. You know, they're wounded. They're a wounded animal, so they're striking back. You know, and you know, Girardi owes them nothing. What he owes is his team and his organization, and he's doing you know, they're losing, so that's really, you know, ultimately what you're going to be judged on. But also, you know, it's tough to judge Girardi right now. I mean, you know, last year he's being judged under the circumstances of his first season in Philadelphia is virtually destroyed by COVID and a bullpen that I don't care who you were, Connie Mack, you know, 1930 Connie Mack, Sparky Anderson, you know, whoever you think are the best managers in history, you know, put them out there with that bullpen that Girardi had to deal with last year, and they're not winning. I'm sorry. So he still almost had that team in the postseason. They were down to the final game. And now this year, if you look at the injuries that they've had, the, you know, management going into the season never really resolved or filled out the center field position. And so in the end, it turns out they've been kind of rescued there by Odubel Herrera over the last month. But this is, you know, it's a tough, you know, the back end of the rotation, you know, he was given a couple of veteran arms and they've not done the job for the most part. So, you know, manager can only do so much. I mean, I'm not saying he's done a perfect job. I'm not saying maybe he's handling the media situation 100% the best that he possibly could. But to me, Joe Girardi isn't anywhere near the top of the list of the biggest problems for this team. This team on the field, in the makeup of the roster, that's where the problems are. And that's Dave Dombrowski's job to fix the roster and to fix the makeup of the team on the field, to improve the defensive play, to improve the consistency in the hitting, to improve the back end of that pitching rotation. That's on Dave Dombrowski. That's what he was hired to do. And any reasonable big league managerial candidate, if they were given the right roster, can manage a winner. And that's so to me, it doesn't matter that it's Joe Girardi. The Phillies aren't losing because of Joe Girardi. And Girardi could, I think, make a difference if he had a better mix of players on the field. But you know, I think to put the focus on Joe Girardi, I think is the wrong place to put the focus. And the media is putting a lot of it there right now. And there's a lot of, he's given them a lot of ammunition, frankly, lately, and they're losing, you know, and so when, what happens when you lose, especially when there are expectations, there's a lot of frustration and a lot of the focus in the end. At first, they're going to give you the injury slant. At first, they're going to give you, you know, the, we have a couple holes, hopefully they'll get filled. But when nobody does step up and when the injuries start to happen, and there do start to be maybe a couple of questionable managerial decisions, the heat is going to go on the manager. The history of sports, especially baseball. So there's some heat on Girardi right now, warranted or unwarranted, but for me, that's a distraction. You know, the roster needs to be fixed, especially at the edges, the fringes, in the depth, and it hasn't been so far. So we'll see what Dombrowski does over time. This is his first year, you know, as well. So he's only had a certain amount of time, and other teams aren't just going to, you know, I've seen some on social media, you know, you see some ridiculous, you know, comments of players they should get, you know, well, you know, it takes two to tango. Everybody's not going to give you, you know, their good players, you know, just because you want them to be on the Phillies. So, you know, we'll see. But the you know, the key is they have to be able to at least tread water. They have to be able to stay in contention, you know, until Dombrowski has a chance to do something, you know, come, you know, June, July, you know, when the trade deadline's approaching. So right now, you know, the standings, I think, are a little bit of a, they're a little bit of a misleading, you know, when we say they're in second place. You know, to me, look at that loss column. You know, they're falling a little bit too uncomfortably behind in that loss column. And the biggest thing is they can't string wins together. You know, they haven't won two games in a row, Rich. Just two. They haven't won two in a row since early May. I mean, that's almost an entire month without winning. Two straight games, and let alone a winning streak, you can't win back to back. You know, you can't get a streak
one,
until
lose one, win one, lose one, lose three.
Hey, what's it? Was it Bull Durham? You know, where the managers, I can't remember. It was a baseball movie where they said, you know, we win today, you know, that's a win. You win tomorrow, that's two in a row. We win three, we call that winning streak. You know, we can't get a winning streak because we can't win two, but two in a row.
No, it's a shame. But getting back to Girardi and him not wanting to be exactly 100% truthful with the press, I was just reading one of the comments under that story that I had up on the screen, and I didn't realize this either because I didn't hear the original story. But apparently the reporter brought up sports gambling at the same time, you know, possibly holding to the fire, hey, now there's sports gambling, so you should be telling us everything.
Who cares about sports gambling? You know, why would a writer be interested in sports gambling? The whole sports gambling thing is ridiculous anyway. First of all, there's been sports gambling forever. You know, it's just wide open now. It's, you know, out in public, you know, FanDuel and all these other, you know, gambling sites they have out there and apps. You know, I think that personally, I think it's a terrible idea. You know, if you are an addict, you know, it's really easy for you now, you know, to lose your shirt without ever leaving the comfort of your home, you know, and it's not easy. Yeah.
You may win one, you may win two in a row. That's what gets you hooked. But you're going to lose in the end, chances are.
Well, these people aren't in business to lose money, and they're not going to. They're making a lot of money, just like casinos. Casinos, it's a license to print money. And where are they getting their money from? From your pocket. Yeah, you know, somebody might go down there and hit some slot, and you read about it in the newspaper. Hey, Joe Blow out in California hit a slot out there for $1 million. Somebody down in Atlantic City won, $250,000 at the slots yesterday. You know, they love to advertise that stuff. But meanwhile, there was 250 people, who each lost a couple of grand yesterday. So, the casinos aren't losing money, not even when somebody hits it big. And sports bettors are the same way. Sports, the sites that provide sports gambling, they're not losing money either. So, it's a whole other topic, but the bottom line is, and I'm not going to get preachy, but I just think it's a bad idea. I don't gamble myself, but I just, I think that whole thing is a bad idea. But this, for sports writers to be, for that to be like even part of the issue that they're talking about, who cares? If I'm Joe Girardi, I don't even care. If you want to bring up my decision making process and challenge my decision making process for baseball reasons, sure. But for to bring up as sports gambling as any part of my decision making process or how I should react to you or the fans, forget about it. I'm not even interested.
Right. Aaron Nola this year hasn't been exactly the Aaron Nola that we know of. His last seven games, he's 2-3. He's given up in his last three games. He's given up 9 hits against Toronto on the 15th of May. On the 21st, 7 hits against Boston. They both end up to be losses for him. Only 2 hits against Miami on the 26th. Got a no decision in that one. But what's your thoughts so far on Aaron Nola? We're expecting a little better from him so far this year.
Yeah, results wise, Rich, but his numbers are pretty much there. He's slightly, his ERA is 3.72. That's slightly above his career ERA. He's still allowing fewer hits than innings pitched. He's striking out more batters than innings pitched. His strikeout to walk ratio is still phenomenal. It's a 5.85, which is the best of his career. His 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings is better than any season he had in the big leagues, any full season he had in the big leagues. So I think Nola's running into a little bit of bad luck, and he's made a couple of bad pitches at bad times, given up a couple of home runs on ball city. I mean, it was totally frustrating as a fan just to watch them. So I'm sure from his perspective, especially if he looks back on those pitches, to watch just a meatball go right down the middle of the plate and a guy smack it out of the park for 2-run homer, 3-run homer. And the next thing you know, Nola's trailing. And with the way the Phillies offense has been, well, then he goes and he loses the game, and maybe like a 4-3, contest, when maybe out of the 7 innings he pitches, he shuts out the other team for, 5 of the innings, 6 of the innings, gives up virtually nothing in those innings. But the one inning where he left a meatball over the middle of the plate, ends up doing him in. Not this team this year is not producing enough runs that you have a lot of margin for error as a pitcher. So I'm not worried about Aaron Nola at all, as far as Aaron Nola and his own performance. I don't know if it's mental toughness or something where he lets down occasionally, and you can't let down against major league hitters. He has the talent. We've seen it. I mean, he was in the top 3 for the Cy Young Award voting about 3 or 4 years ago. I think he finished like 7th maybe last year. So he certainly has Cy Young contender talent. He has ace talent. His game just hasn't elevated to that level this year. And I think his peripheral numbers show that he could be at that level. I mean, his peripheral numbers are where they need to be. It's that ERA is slightly elevated because of, one or two, it literally is, if you watch his outings, 1 or 2 bad pitches, in one inning, maybe one inning where he lets down And then he's dominant the rest of the game. So I'm not really overly worried about him. There are bigger problems on the Phillies, again, than Aaron Nola.
Yeah, that's what it seems like he does. He pitches five great innings, about the sixth or maybe even seventh inning. Watch out, because, you know, either the pit batters have caught up to him or he's going to give up a home run. It's happened a couple times this year. It's kind of strange.
But, well, he's been hitting the first inning, too. I mean, he's had times where a couple of games where he got hit in the first inning, and then he just shuts the team down the rest of the way. So I don't think it's necessarily a I'm getting tired situation. I just think maybe for Nola, we have higher expectations because of the talent and the track record. So I think that I'm no expert, but just from what it seems like to me and from watching this game for decades, he seems like the answer that I'm guessing is a mental toughness aspect of from the first pitch. And then every pitch, you have to compete every pitch in the big leagues, especially when you have his kind of talent. You know, when you have ace level talent, then your attitude, every single batter has to be that you want to beat that batter every single pitch, every batter. And he seems like he lets down a little bit. It seems like that to me. I'm not sure if it's the case. I've always suspected the same thing, frankly, on the back end of games with Hector Neris. Hector Neris has fantastic talent, and his numbers look great when you look at his overall numbers. But how many times have we seen him blow a save or come close to blowing a save? And despite having fantastic overall numbers, and he has those fantastic overall numbers because he's got tremendous talent. It just, I think he just feels like his concentration lets down, his competitiveness lets down at times, and he blows it. You know, so I think you gotta have that killer instinct, you know, and I don't get killer instinct from Aaron Nola or from Hector Neris. And I think that's what they're lacking from becoming an elite starting pitcher and an elite closer each, is that mental toughness, killer instinct.
Sort of like a Greg Maddux that never, he never let you know what he was thinking, but he was always tough out there on the mound.
Well, you know, now we're talking Hall of Famers. You know, so, you know, Maddux was one of them guys. I mean, you know, you watched him his whole career just like I did. It was like, how is this guy beating us? But is, you know, he didn't seem like he had, you know, the overpowering stuff. And he didn't seem like he looked like a doctor out on the mound sometimes more than a, you know, premier athlete. And yet he was, and he was a premier athlete, and he was one of the best pitchers in the history of the game. So, it's hard to, you know, compare anybody, you know, to a Greg Maddux, but yes, you're right with the mental toughness aspect of it. You know, you have to, you know, Maddux certainly had that killer attitude, that killer instinct. We saw it here with guys like Doc Halliday and Cliff Lee. They both had that killer instinct. Curt Schilling had that killer instinct. So that's what I'd like to see a little bit more out of Aaron Nola.
Yep. And thank God we have Zach Wheeler. He's doing great this year so far. 4-2 with a 2.52 ERA. I think he's, for argument's sake, the Phillies ace at this point. I guess you'd have to put the crown on him if you wanted to think about aces. Used to be Nola, but I don't know that he's the ace anymore on this Phillies team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, arguably, if you look at the numbers, you know, except for maybe, you know, like I said, Nola's ERA is obviously, you know, slightly elevated this year. But otherwise, you know, look at their numbers, and they're very similar. You know, they're arguably co-aces. I mean, I think that's a fantastic thing for the Phillies. But Wheeler this year he's elevated his game. I mean, we've seen Nola do this in past seasons. So Wheeler is just right now, he's having that year. You know, he's having that kind of big year. I'm not sure that he's necessarily, you know, over the course of a 15-year career going to be a better pitcher than Aaron Nola record-wise or statistically, but this year he is. And there's no, you know, if you want to use the term ace only as the number one pitcher on your staff, then Wheeler certainly is the Phillies' ace this year. And if you want to line them up, you know, Wheeler's having a really, he's having an ace-like season. He's having an all-star season. Good as anybody, you know, in the major leagues, pretty much. Nola has been pitching as a pretty strong number two, if you want to look at it that way. And Eflin's given him a competitive number three starter. It's those guys are not the problem. The Phillies' problem is the pitching staff beyond that. And they've been fortunate there to have somehow found new life this year out of Vince Velasquez, you know, who has, you know, taken an opportunity, and he's more power to him. He has run with it so far. But, you know, I don't know how many people are, if you're at all like me, you know, or just waiting for the bottom to fall out when Vince takes the mound. And yet it hasn't this year. You know, again, more power to him. Vince Velasquez has pitched really well this year. So he's given the Phillies, you know, four competitive pitchers, but they don't, that's it. You need more than four. You know, you need five or six, you know, these days. And it's tough. You know, Chase Anderson has not been competitive most of the time. Matt Moore wasn't competitive when he was given the chance. Spencer Howard, just he's not built up enough. He's not stretched out enough. He's good enough right now to give them moments. He can give them three or four innings, but he's going to have that letdown inning, if not only for experience, but also because of what he's been built up to as far as durability at this point. So, you know, long term, I think they're fine. But in the short term, they need one or two more starting pitchers. But more than that, they need I think the pitching is going to work out, including the bullpen. I think that more than anything, the Phillies need to straighten this lineup out. The defense has been horrendous. They were tied. If you look at the statistics, and I just put out this during this past week. In fact, it was just Friday. I put out my first power rankings, Major League Baseball power rankings of the year. And in forming my power rankings, I statistically take into account stats for offense, pitching, and defense, as well as your ability to win. So your position in the standings over the last 30 days. And the Phillies defense is the worst in the National League statistically. They're tied with the Oakland A's for the worst in all of baseball. And the A's have been able to overcome it to stay in contention out in the American League West. I believe they may even still be leading the American League West, but the Phillies just have not. The Phillies defense has just been just horrendous. And there are no easy answers there. So that's, to me, Dombrowski as a general manager / you know, president. He's the team president, but they have an inexperienced GM who I think is learning on the job a little bit. So Dombrowski's biggest challenge is going to be straightening out this overall starting lineup and roster. Not just putting together hitters, but putting together a team that can play defense as a team. You know, you and I saw, you know, how well the 2011 team could play defensively. You know, when you had guys like Victorino and Worth and Jimmy Rollins and Chase, you know, Pedro Feliz at third base, Chooch, you know, the defense was really strong in those teams. You might have had a Howard, you know, and a Burrell who were just average, but you can live with, you know, two average to below, slightly below average defensive players when the rest of your team plays phenomenal defense. The Phillies don't have that right now. Harper, you know, has the ability to play at an elite level defense, but he's mostly been, whether it's from injuries or his first year, he was fantastic. Last year, he was down a little bit. This year, he's been hurt. So it's hard to judge him defensively. You know, Gregorius was signed more for his bat at shortstop than his defense. I think if he's healthy, he can be middle of the road, certainly. But, you know, we're talking about a lot of, you know, middle of the road, you know, to lesser defensive players. Really, the only elite defensive player on his team, maybe JT Realmuto behind the plate. And they were missing him for a while there with injuries. So, you know, it's a big challenge to try to figure out how to put a talented, complete ball club together. And it's going to be interesting to see if Dombrowski's able to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's got some tall tasks ahead of him. And this morning, towards noon, they announced that Roman Quinn is out for 60 days on the injured list with an Achilles injury from last night in Tampa. The loss, and they lost Roman Quinn. So, again, the Phillies
getting that's not a surprise.
Yeah, right? bit with the injury bug there. But it's going to be a long season, and the Phillies need to find where they were earlier this season when they were in first place doing well. They need to find that groove again.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's frustrating because, like I said, they're and you know, I don't think there's any one thing that can fix it. You know, that it's not an easy fix, this team. Probably the one thing that could really help them is to get everybody healthy, you know, back on the field, like you mentioned earlier in the season. Well, they're a competitive ball club, much more competitive than they are right now, when they have a healthy Bryce Harper in right field, a healthy D.D. Gregorius at shortstop, a healthy J.T. Realmuto behind the plate, when they have Andrew McCutchen healthy, you know, in left field. And when they're healthy, they're and they have all their pieces on the field, they're a very competitive ball club. And when they have that out there, then, and if they can get that for a stretch, that's when you can start looking at the fringes of the roster. Where else can we be? How can we add one more starting pitcher that'll, you know, help us? You know, who's that one position player maybe that we can go out and get that'll help push us to the playoff level? But they, without their full lineup healthy and in the game and competing, they're barely a treading water team. I mean, that's what we're seeing now. Win one, lose one, win one, lose two, you know, but what we're not seeing is win two, lose one. We're not seeing win two. They can't win two. So, you know, that's what they have to do. I mean, there are teams. I mean, when you look around baseball, I told you the Oakland A's are tied for, they're the worst defensive team in the American League statistically, but they're in first place in a, in a division with some good teams, with the Houston Astros, you know, are out there. I mean, that's a really good ball club. And the Oakland is still in first place. The Seattle Mariners are not a bad ball club. They got some good young talent. They're almost like the Phillies, just below 500. They're only 4.5 out, but Oakland's on top of them. You know, they're 8 games over 500 with the worst statistically defensive team in the American League. So it can be overcome. It's up to the players. You know, you have to be able to come through with the key hits at the key times. The bullpen has to be able to get the guy. How many times just this past week did the Phillies have a lead late? We were tied late and the bullpen came in and blew the game again. Just, it was like 2020 all over again. So how can the other team's relievers come in and shut the Phillies down for the last 4 innings? And the Phillies relievers come in with a 1-run lead in those same last 4 innings and they give up that lead, you know, they give up 2 or 3 runs. It's up to the players. You know, the players have to produce. They're major leaguers. They're big leaguers. They're not untalented, you know, but they're just not doing the job.
Yeah. Well, the Phillies will have 2 more on the road after today. Tuesday and Wednesday in Cincinnati. Then they come home on the 4th of June for the full opening of Citizens Bank Park. All the game day employees are probably gearing up over there for the big grand reopening, let's call it. You know, open all the doors. Why not? You know, so going to be interesting that first weekend, the 4th, 5th, and the 6th. The Phillies playing the Nationals. 4:05 start on Saturday, at this point, June 5th, And then the home series continues against the Braves, the 8th, 9th, and 10th of June. And it finishes up. The Phillies, another rare Friday off. They've had last Friday off. Now they're going to have June 11th off. That's interesting. With a two-game series against the Yankees at home, and then they go out west.
Yeah, that's these Fridays off are a little bit, you know, more than a little bit weird. I mean, you know, this past weekend was a little bit weird, but I was thinking, all right, you know, it has to got to have something to do with Memorial Day weekend. But now they got another one coming up in June. It's very unusual. But, yeah. You know, then they're, like you said, they go out west, you know, and they're playing when they go out west. They're not just going out west. They're going out to play the Dodgers and the Giants. Those are two good ball clubs. So, you know, they need to do something on this homestand with two division rivals, the Nationals and the Braves, who are struggling on their own. Neither one of them is playing real well. Washington's in last place, 6 games below .500. Atlanta is 2 games below .500, just like the Phillies are, tied for second. And they've struggled under some serious injury situations, some bad pitching. The Braves are not as good a team as people thought they were. They have, a few good talented ball players, but so do the Phillies. The Braves have a lot of question marks to answer. The big thing is, you know, the Phillies can't be worried about anybody else or schedules or anything like that. They have to start winning. You can't even think about, you know, things like the postseason, the playoffs, improving yourself for the stretch run, big trade deadline deals. You can't even start to think about any of those things until you can string a couple of wins together. You know, they had, like we said, Richard, 2 in a row. Just 2. They can't get that. So this team needs a streak. You remember, they started the year 4-0. I think they've only had one other stretch all year where they won 4 or 5 in a row. I mean, sometime at the end of April or early May, something like that. So other than that, they can't win 2 in a row, Rich. And it's I mean, we've probably said that 100 times already in this podcast, but that's the task right now, is to win ball games, and not just one here and one there. They've got to string a bunch together. They need one of those runs. If you remember last year, when they started, it looked like they were falling out of a little bit, and Bryce Harper came out and said, well, we need one of them runs where we win like 10 out of 12 or 12 out of 15 or something like that. And they went on that run. Well, that's what they need right now. They need that kind of run where they go on and win like 12 out of 15. I mean, do that and you put yourself in a position to do all those other things. But it's my sense that that's probably not going to happen until everybody's healthy. And hopefully they get Bryce back this coming week. I think he's due to come off the injured list, or at least he's eligible to come off the injured list when they're in Cincinnati. And then, you know, DD, hopefully he's not too far behind. Bryce, the last thing that I heard about earlier this week was that it didn't look like he was really even close. So, you know, at least get Harper back in the lineup and hopefully go from there. You know, they can't afford a letdown right now from the guys who are surprising, from like Odubel and from Vince Velasquez. They're getting surprising contributions from them. So the guys that are doing it have to keep doing it. And then they got to get Bryce back. And then, and people who haven't been doing it, guys like Bohm, have to step up, you know, and start producing. So they need to string some wins together. There's no other way to say it, Rich. Otherwise it's going to be, they're going to waste another season in Bryce Harper's prime.
Be a long season as well. So just a real quick note here. Here's the Phillies Father's Day cap. Sunday, June 13th, if you're going out to the ballpark, 15 and over, you're going to get a 1920s Phillies cap there. So pretty cool looking.
Yeah, nice looking.
This little cap there for Father's Day. And looking ahead, there's the July 4th.
That's sharp. I like Wheeler that right at the front anyway. Yeah, very nice. Probably for kids, right? Yeah, there you go. Children 14 and under. I'm not going to fit in that one, Rich.
Yeah, that one.
I don't think I would have fit in that one when I was 14.
No, I would need the sizes that they don't even give you at the ballpark. But Yeah, that's something. But where can people find you on the web these days, Matt?
The best place if you're looking for Philly stuff is at Philly's Bell. Philly's Bell is still the Twitter handle, and we're going to keep that up and running. Do a lot of daily. I do Philly's history information I put out on this date in Philly's history, birthdays of old Philly's players, some highlights of Philly's activity that might have happened on this date in history. So do a lot of Philly's history stuff, and then always have the lineup out there and some commentary on the games. I try to share some of the better pieces that I see written by other writers. So at Philly's Bell is a good one-stop, you know, visit for any Phillies fan to follow. And then my website is mattveasey.com, mattveasey.com. I write on everything, but it's been mostly baseball stuff lately. Like I said, just Friday, I put up my most recent piece, which was my first power MLB power rankings of the season. And that's where they can find me.
Give us a teaser for anybody that didn't read it yet. Who's your number one?
The number one team on the power rankings probably is not surprising to anybody. And that is that there actually are really two. There's a 1A and a 1B, one in each league. Uh-huh. And that is in the National League, the San Diego Padres. Uh-huh. And they're my number one overall team. And just a smidge behind them at number two is the team that the Phillies are playing right now. The Tampa Bay Rays are the number one team in the American League, number two in my power rankings. So the San Diego Padres, number one, the Rays are number two. And if you want to know where the Phillies are, you can visit the website and find out for yourself. But I can tell you this, they're not in the top 20, which is a shame. I mean, last year, I think they were they finished like 14th or something overall, which is about where they belong. They were just outside of that playoff range. But 20, you know, top 20, you know, that's, you got to be in the top 20 if you're going to even smell like a contender.
Have a chance,
Another thing I can tell you about the Phillies ranking, they're ranked the lowest among the National League East teams. Even though they're tied for second in the standings, they're ranked the lowest among the NL teams.
Interesting.
And that's realistic because I don't just take record, the win-loss record, into account. The win-loss record is part of my formula. And I only use the win-loss record over the last 30 days. So it's, you know, what have you done for me lately? You might have won a lot of games back in April, but that's not telling me anything over the last 4 weeks. You know, if you've collapsed. So my power rankings are more about what you're doing now. Win-loss over the last 30 days, as far as the offensive component goes, I use runs per game that you've scored. So in other words, you know, it's not just how many runs you've scored, because you might have scored 100 runs over 35 games. Another team might have scored 100 runs over 28 games. Well, they're a little better offense than you. So I use the runs per game as my offensive component. The fielding component, the defensive component, is FIP. So that's, I apologize to you. My pitching component is FIP, which is fielding independent pitching. So I look at where your team FIP is. And then as far as defense goes, I go to FanGraphs, and I use FanGraphs defensive runs saved, the DRS figure. So that really gives you a good measure of how each individual player on your lineup has performed defensively. And then when you take them all together, all those players, gives you a good idea of how your team is playing as a unit defensively. So I don't just go willy-nilly, you know, and decide who I think should be 1 to 30. Yeah, and I don't line them up 1 to 30 based on their win-loss record. I put some thought into this, and I have a formula. And I've over the last maybe 6-7 years that I've been doing power rankings, I've been tweaking the formula here and there when I come up with a better stat or somebody sells me, you know, on a better way to do it. But for this is about 3 years now that I've been using this formula, and it works out pretty well. If you have an argument, you know, with my power rankings, then your argument isn't with me.
Right.
Your argument is with the way your team is playing on the field. So exactly. If you don't like the Phillies not being in the top 20, don't argue with me. You know, argue with the Phillies.
We'll give you a little teaser. If you're watching the show on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. We need more subscribers, trying to get to 1,000. So that's going to be a tough task where we're going. But, you know, hit that subscribe button and hit like on the video. If you're watching us, subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcast. You can find my post at fightingphillies.com. And Phillies Talk Podcast, this show has been the longest independent running independent show talking about the Phillies on the internet. So we appreciate you stopping by, checking out the show today, and we hope you stop by again. You just have a great holiday weekend, and I hope your start to June is equally good as well. Matt, you have a good one and take care.
You too, Rich. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there, and go Phils.